grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15 tonight. Obviously, you can tell that Pastor Jeff is not here today, or else you thought he dyed his hair or something. Tonight, I want to ask three questions. Not that we're going to answer them right at this moment, but something to think about as we're going to read the passage, and then also the same three questions at the end for you to contemplate and think about for the rest of the week. First question is, where do I abide in my life? Simple question, where do I abide? Next question is, what kind of fruit is produced in my life? What am I producing? Or what is being produced? And how is fruit shown in my life? Those are the three questions I want you to think about as we cover this passage in verses 1 through 17. But also, I want you to meditate on those questions throughout the week after this passage if you get a chance. So in John chapter 15, starting at verse 1, it says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and wherever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we get to come together again as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to just fellowship together, worship you, sing to you, Lord, but also to hear your words, Lord, and ask, Father, tonight that they speak to us, Lord, exactly as we need it, Lord. We thank you, God, that you love us so much, Lord. Minister to us as we need, we pray, and we ask those things tonight, Lord, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You know, now, a farmer does not plant a crop or trees or vines to produce no fruit, right? It would be a waste of time for a farmer to do that. And Jesus really kind of gives us a really good picture of what it's like in the kingdom. And that is, he is the true vine. And that our Heavenly Father is that farmer, the person who tends to those vines, right? And Jesus always tells things straight up, to the point, and doesn't really candy coat things like we do in our world, right? He tells something very, very simple in verse 2, where he says, every branch, which is us, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, the Father. I mean, that's direct and to the point. Not candy-coated, not sugar-coated. But as a master farmer, someone who knows us, knows the fruit, knows the vines, every one of those branches, he takes away. But every branch that the Father sees that is bearing fruit, he prunes, he shapes, he molds. You know, One of the things that I love about this passage is that I have vines now at my house. I planted them about 4 or 5 years ago, and they've been producing, and they grow every year. First couple of years, I wasn't very good at it, and they kind of went wild. But God knows exactly how to prune these vines. He knows exactly how to prune the vines in my life. What is so awesome about this is that God keeps teaching me things through these vines. Incredible lessons for my life, and it just blows my mind. Because one of the things I've learned about these vines is that when they first come out of the shoots, when they're first coming out from the main stalk, you can't tell which ones are going to have the clusters of grapes and which ones aren't. And these vines just start taking off with life. And as they start moving and shaping and growing, they have these little like tentacle things. And they start latching on to everything they can get their little tentacles on, like little feelers. And these little tentacles, they wrap around things. And if the farmer isn't careful and doesn't take care of these and tend to them on a timely basis, the vines just go like crazy. I learned this the hard way a few years ago when I let my vines kind of take off. I had a lot of work. It took a long time for me to try to dig through all the foliage, you can say, just to find out which vines were actually producing fruit. You know, God is looking at each one of our lives. He's looking to see if we're producing fruit. He's watching that. And what's so awesome about this passage is that there are three words that keep sticking out of my mind through there. It's fruit, abide, and love. It's right throughout this passage. One of the things that I learned this year alone about these vines is, this time I was being more attentive to them. I was watching them carefully so that when I found the ones that had actually clusters on it, I need to start pruning them back. And those that were not producing anything, I cut them off right at the stalk, right away. Because those ones that look like great vines, looks like they're going to be producing something, they actually did produce nothing, but they were taking away vital nutrients from that main trunk, that main vine. And Jesus is that vine. And he provides life-giving nutrients that we need every single day. So what I learned also about vines is when they're young and they're first coming out, they're very pliable. They're easy to move and shape and mold. I started tying them and wrapping them around these little lines that I had in my house so I can actually train them to go where I wanted them to go, where I needed them to go. That's the same thing that God does in our lives. If we'll let him, he's going to prune us in a way that will shape us into his good and perfect will. Shape us to look more like his son Jesus, right? As I've been playing with my vines and working with them, the ones that I keep cut off that haven't produced no fruit, they dried up, they withered, and I threw them away. They were no good. Good for nothing. But the ones that I pruned back, I've watched those clusters over a few weeks really spring to life, start to grow, start to fill. Now, the pruning process, that hurts. It's painful. I don't like it in my life. But what I've learned, what we learned through this passage, is it's vital. It's needed. Because of all of the things that Jesus, that God wants for us, is he wants us to bear much fruit. Not sickly fruit, but he wants us to bear huge, humongous fruit. And that fruit is important, as we're going to cover a little bit later on. One of the things that, as we're continuing on in this passage, we find that Jesus moves on from defining what the Father does in our lives to giving us a truth in verse 3. And it's a truth that we need to, I don't believe he snuck it in here, but I believe he put it in here for a reason. In verse 3 it says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken." You know, as we walk in this life, you know, God wants us to abide in that vine. But we have a very real enemy that wants you to believe a lie, wants me to believe a lie, wants us to get off track. We are clean when we come to Christ. But I don't know about you, but I would know about all of us. As believers, we are bombarded at times when we hear the lies of the enemy telling us, you know, you're not clean, you're not worthy, you sinned here, God can never forgive you now. Well, guess what? That's not the truth. That's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus said that we are clean. And the reason why I know we all deal with this is because if you go back one chapter to John chapter 12, I mean, John chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, this is the point where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. You know, Jesus is going to tell Peter something. After he announces that he's going to wash their feet, Peter says something. He says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He wanted the rest of him washed, everything washed. And that's just like us. We blow it, we sin, and we feel like we're just so far away from God that he'll never forgive us. But that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The truth is that we are a new creature. God is a loving father. How many times have we seen in the scripture, just like the prodigal son, when he was coming back, that the father was running to him? God loves us. Peter here says, you know, not just my feet, but all basically all of me, really. But what does Jesus tell him in verse 10? He says, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. He is completely clean." I love this that verse 3 because it's needed in my life, and I know in other believers' lives too, because they hear the lies of the enemy saying, "You know what? You're not clean. You're so far away from God. Just get away from him." The enemy's trying to drive a wedge between us and our Savior and our Heavenly Father. And God is, and Jesus is reiterating this for us because we need it. I need it. There are people who keep hearing that same message that you're no good. You've blown it. You've sinned too much. Oh, you thought the wrong thought. But the truth is that we are clean because of Jesus, because of where we abide, where we rest, where we reside. And that is a beautiful thing. And that is a truth that I believe believers need to latch on to and hold on and remember, because that's a promise. That is a promise that you can take with you everywhere you go. I know for so many years in my life when I was younger, every time I'd blow it, I would feel like I just needed to run away. But now that I look back on my life and look back then, I'm thinking, why was I running? Why did I not believe the simple truth of God's word that says that, no, you are clean. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. That's awesome. That's a loving father who's constantly showing his love to you and to me every single day. Continue on in verse 4 through 6 here. It says, "Abide in me and I in you." What is so amazing about this is he mentions this like three times. He repeats this exact same phrase three times. He says in verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you." And verse 5, "He who abides in me and I in him." And he says in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you." Do you see the relation here, the relationship? There's action. That word abide is an action verb. It's a verb. I mean, something has to be done. The key to this is that we have a responsibility. We have to decide where we want to abide. That requires action on our part. My part to say, every day, am I going to get down on my knees, or am I going to spend my time with my Savior in the beginning of my day or throughout the day? I have to make a conscious choice. We all do. Where do I want to abide? And that word abide means to stay in a given place or state or relation or expectancy, to dwell and endure, to be present and remain, to stand and tarry. It's a conscious decision to say, I am going to reside here with my Savior and nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to move me. And that's what we need. Because you know what? As I continue to walk in this my relationship with the Lord through this life, it's like, Lord, I want to have that radical walk where I'm so focused that I'm not moved. Because I know I look at my life and there's times I get moved to the left or to the right. I wish I could just continue to do that. But I want to, it's all about resting in Him, abiding in Him, and realizing that it's all about Him, it's all through Him, and everything we do is because of Him. That's this choice that we have to make. You know, we have to make that conscious decision every single day. When we look at that, when we start to abide, we realize that we abide in Him. We look at the second part of that is that He will abide with us. When I was younger, in my walk, I don't know if you guys have gone through this. Maybe some of you have or haven't. Have you ever had that time where you feel like you're walking with the Lord and all of a sudden things feel like they're dry? And it feels like, where's God? Has anyone? Maybe one or two? Okay, yeah, we all have, right? You know, I was just struggling with this. Like, man, what's going on? What's happening? Jesus feels so far away. And one of my friends, you know, who was really just a good brother in the Lord, just listened as I just kind of spilled everything out to him. And then he had this little simple question. Who moved? Who moved? Who moved away? It was simple. And I was thinking, what do you mean, who moved away? He goes, yeah, who moved? You or Jesus? I was like blown away. As I started thinking about that, you know what? Reflecting back on the past few months of my life, I was thinking, hey, I moved. I quit abiding with the Lord. I did it. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus loves me. He loves you. I moved. And that does happen in our lives. That's happened and probably in every one of our lives. But the awesome thing about it is that a loving Father is right there. Right there. The minute we turn and say, Lord, I want to be back. He's right there to take us back. Swoop us up in His arms. Running back to that prodigal. That had an impact on my life, thinking about that. He says, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is such a beautiful verse because as we reside with Jesus and we walk with Him and we are loving Him, we're worshiping Him, spending time with Him, we begin to grow in a deeper relationship with Him. And He begins changing our desires, which is awesome. Because some of the things that I want to do now, I never would have ever thought of doing. I mean, I never wanted to go on a mission trip, I'll tell you that, when I was younger. All I could think about is, well, man, people could die on those things. People don't come back from those things. But I'll tell you, I've been inspired by my own children because they have been fearless in this way in their walk with the Lord to say, God, take me where you want me to go. And were they scared? They had scared moments of their own. But they knew Jesus was with them. And their vision that God had for them, they took them around the world to minister to peoples in a different land. And it's like, wow. And I've watched in my own life as that desire has changed in my life. That desire to go out on a mission trip, to go minister to someone. God changes our desires as we reside and love Him and dwell with Him. He begins changing our hearts. And the things we never would have thought that we would do, all of a sudden we want to do them. We're excited to do them. We can't wait to get out there and do them. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. In verse 8 it says, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. You know, as a master farmer in our lives, He wants us, just as we just read here, to bear much fruit. And what is that fruit? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, if you want to turn there real quick, He tells us what some of the what the fruit is. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that seem like a heavy list to anyone? Lord, how, I mean, I remember when I was younger reading that list, I'm like, man, I'm never going to make it. I'm blowing it on the self-control and the gentleness alone. But that was me trying to do it. I need to realize that as I abide in the true vine, in Jesus, this is the fruit that needs to come out in my life. This is the fruit that's going to be produced in my life. Love is going to be coming out of my life. Joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are some of the fruits that are coming, that are going to be pruned into my life, shaped and molded. Now, if I'm a vine that's not willing to be pruned, or is going to latch on to what I want, Jesus, the Father is going to be doing some serious pruning in my life. I remember there was one of the patience or long suffering. When I was young in my walk, I used to ask for this specific thing over and over again. Lord, give me patience. I quit asking for that after a while because I would go through so many situations where my patience was tested over and over again. I've had these incredible times where I'm like, man, I really had to bite my tongue and be patient with others. Now the Lord just does it if I just rest in Him. These are the things that God wants to produce in our lives. And what are these fruits that that are being produced in our lives aren't for us alone. Because the vine doesn't eat the grapes. I mean, that cluster, they're meant for others, right? So what God is producing in my life, the love, the joy, the peace, everything that's being shaped and molded for us, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. It's for you. And what you're producing is for me. Isn't that awesome? You get to share in the fruit that's being produced in my life. I get to share in the fruit that's being produced in your life. As believers, as a body of Christ, that fruit is being passed around. And in our walk, in our relationship as believers and as a fellowship, this is what's happening. It's happening in our homes, with our families. Now, what about our families? Sometimes that's where the rubber meets the road, right? That's where it really comes down. Because it's easy to kind of like, no one else sees this. I'm so mad at that person. I'm going to talk to him. And then you come out in public, hey, everything's fine. Liar. I can say that because I've done that. But God wants this fruit in our lives to be evident to those around us, in our families, in our body, in this fellowship, but also this fruit to be out there in the world that we have in contact with, a world of unbelievers who don't know Jesus, a world of unbelievers who do not know what real love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness is all about. They need to see that. They need to see our fruit in their life. There are so many situations in our own personal lives, in our own homes, where this is being exercised out. It's being grown and pruned. How many times have you had to exercise self-control when you didn't want to? How many times has God given you a situation, well, man, you have to learn to be gentle when you don't want to? Or be kind when you don't want to. Or show love when you don't want to. I know in my life and in the lives of others, showing that love can be difficult because we've been hurt by some of the ones we love the most. The ones who say they love us the most. But think about this. Jesus loved us so much that He went to that cross first, willingly. That same love that put him there is the same love that he wants to flow from that true vine of him through us to the world around us. That's the love. That's what is needed. We have a lost and dying world around us, right here in our little community and around this world. And they need to see the love of Jesus, especially in our times. I mean, it's been said that we are living in these last days before Christ comes back. And I believe it. There is a harvest out there that is ready, that's ripe, that is needed. There are people who need to hear about Jesus. They need to see that love, the love that God's poured, where we abide in, that love needs to be shown out there. You know, I know it can be tough at times. It seems like that way, to show that love. But the more that we're in a relationship with Jesus, the more that we're spending time with Him in His Word, getting face-to-face with Him, spending quiet time with Him, the more He's going to be working the fruits of the Spirit in our lives for others. Yes, it benefits us because it gives us incredible amount of joy to be in that deep relationship with God. But it's needed also in the lives of our family, friends, in the places that we work. There are people who don't know what that real love is all about. And we are living in a country where they want to shut up, close down that fruit. They want us to hide the fruit. Just hide it underneath the leaf. But Jesus, God didn't call us to hide the fruit. Our fruit is to be out there. We need to let people see it, feel it. Encourage them to taste God's word, because it is good. And it will give life to them. You know, as we continue on in verse 9, we want to move on to where it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And here again, Jesus says, abide in my love. There's that word again, love. Abide in love. If you keep my commandments, Jesus says, you will abide in my love. The more that we reside and abide with Him, the more we're going to want to obey. The more that we're going to want to. We need it. I need it. So just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Sometimes we walk around in life and it's like, where's the joy? What happened to it? Where's that zeal and excitement that I had when I first came to Jesus? Or times where I've had such an intense moments of and spans of time in my life where I just felt like I was walking on water. What happened to it? Here it says, in verse 11, these things I spoke to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We will never experience in this life what true joy is without Jesus. Never going to happen. Believers know that, what true joy is. But we live in a world where they have fake joy, fake happiness. I mean, I know it looks tempting. It's true. There's times when we think, oh, maybe that's what it is. That's the golden ticket. But the truth is that Jesus' joy is what will make us full, make us complete. Where are we abiding? Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Simple, isn't it? Jesus never makes it difficult. And I know he left us with two great commandments. One is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The other one is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Wasn't complicated. Wasn't 250 rules that we had to check off every single day. Because if that was the case, I would have just burned the list and said I can't do it. Not possible. But Jesus made it simple, because as we abide in Him, we want to love the Father. We want to love Him more. As we abide in Him, we want to love others. And as we love others, they see the fruit. They see the fruits, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control spilling over out of our life. Spilling over, gushing out into other people's lives. And as you abide, that same love is flowing back. So here, my third question was, how are we showing the fruit in my life, in our lives? Well, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down than to lay down one's life for his friends. That is such a true statement. Simple. And something that Jesus did for all humanity. But the question for us is, how do I live that out in my life? Where does that show in my life? Starts sometimes right in our own home. Lord, show me, teach me how to lay down my life. Because every day there are people in our lives. There are believers that we walk shoulder to shoulder with, and there's unbelievers. Jesus laid down His life. How are we laying down our lives? There's people side by side with us in work, at home, that don't know Him, don't have a relationship, don't even know Jesus. Are we willing to lay down our life for them? Are we willing to put aside our own desires, our own wants, for theirs? That can be tough, huh? Sometimes it's like, wow, I'm so excited to do it. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. But where the rubber meets the road is week 2, week 3, week 4, month 7, year 10, year 20. That's truth. There are some people in our lives that we may never see the end results of the love that God is putting into our lives for them. And there are others, it'll only take 30 seconds, and we watch a life change by God. Are we willing to go the extra mile? Are we willing to lay down ourselves for someone else? Are we willing to say, this pain is so worth it? For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Because He knew what was gained. He knew what the end result was going to be. Now, we don't always know what the end result is for someone else's life. But look at the fruit that is coming out of our lives. We get to lay down our life for someone else. We get to intercede for someone else in prayer. God, make it a joy in my life to come before You and to lay down my life for this person, to come intercede for this person day in and day out. To me, this encourages me, but I hope it encourages you too, that if you are interceding for a loved one or a friend, to not give up. You don't know what will happen. You don't know. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. You don't know what He's shaping and changing in your own life as this is going on. It's so awesome. It's so incredible. I can't believe it, how we get to follow in Jesus' footsteps. In this simple truth that we get to lay down our own life. And we may never lay down our life and have to hang on a cross. But we get to lay down our lives in many different ways. That sacrifice of ourself sacrifice of our own wants, our own desires for someone else. That is so awesome and incredible that we are walking in the same footsteps as Jesus. Maybe not to the same degree as him, but in our own lives, it can feel pretty painful. Sometimes very painful. Have you looked at the joy set before you? Because someone else's life hangs in the balance. Just like Moses interceded for the children of Israel, who is God calling you to intercede for? Which life around you in the sphere that you walk in has God called you to minister to? Who has he called you to intercede? To go to the throne room boldly and make the request known. That is walking it out. That is laying down a life. That's following Jesus. I don't know if you ever heard of Gail Irwin. If anyone has, he has a book called Jesus Style. This is Jesus Style, right here. Walking it out the way Jesus did. He continues on in verse 14. It says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Wow. There are some times I can say, yeah, I followed that. And there are way too many times where I have not. But as we continue to abide and reside in him, he changes our heart, changes our desires, so that he can call us friend. Then we are called his friend. Verse 15, I love this here where it says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Wow. As we walk and we reside with Jesus and abide with him, he's revealing more of what the Father is saying into our lives. It's not a servant. We are his friend. A friend. Now, when I first got married, I'm going to tell you a story. When we first got married, about the word friend. When I first got married, my wife, very kind woman, and she said I was her best friend. You know what I did? I said, I am not your best friend. I'm your husband. Ladies are like, he's a man. He's a man. Well, it took many years later, and I mean many years later, for me to finally understand that she is my friend, my best friend. Jesus calls us friend. I learned a lesson. It's taken many years to get to that point. I finally understand that. I wish I had learned it back then, before then. But the awesome thing about it is that Jesus calls us a friend, and he's revealing more of the Father in our lives. What's so awesome in verse 16 is Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. I chose you." That's how important you are to him, is that he chose you. He chose me. And the other thing is, he has appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There it is. Love. A fruit. That word fruit again. That fruit being evidenced in the lives of those around us. And Jesus wants that fruit in our lives. He wants that to grow. And not just a little, like we talked about earlier, not a little dinky cluster that's not even fit for the birds.
He wants this big, luscious fruit so that others can partake of it. Others can reap those rewards of love and joy and kindness and self-control in their lives. And in verse 17, he says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." I command you. Wow. I command you. Lord, you need to help me, because that's hard sometimes. But I know that you can give me the strength, the power, the love, everything I need to walk this out. And he does it not just for me, but all of us, every one of us, so that we can love one another, so that we can share the fruit of our lives with those around us. In this fellowship, in our homes, and in the places where we work, that love going out, that fruit being shared. I know it can be like, oh Lord, how can I get all this? How can I do all this? I think we need to throw out the question, how can I do it? I got to stop using the, what do I need to do? We need to reside and abide and stay with Jesus. Because we can do nothing without him. Not one thing can we do without him. We need to abide in him. And as we abide in him, he's giving all the nutrients that we need for this life and beyond. And if we're willing to be pliable and bendable, he's going to prune us and shape us to go exactly where we need. But if we're not careful and we don't, and we become stiff-necked, what's going to happen is what happened with my own vines. I let one of them grow a funky way. And the vine and the branch got hard and stiff and brittle. And guess what I had to do with it? Chop it off. I had to cut it off. But as we reside in the vine, if we reside in the vine and let Jesus do his incredible work in our lives, and stay pliable, bendable, moldable, shapeable, and allow him to prune what needs to be pruned in our lives, it's going to produce all those fruits of the Spirit. It's going to produce love, the love that is needed for our family, or the body of Christ, and love that the world desperately needs to see. It's going to produce joy, that deep down settledness in our life that we need every single day, knowing that we have fellowship with the Father. A peace which surpasses all understanding. It's going to produce patience with those around us. When I was younger, I'll tell you, I was not a very patient person. But it also produces kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what it's producing. I asked you three questions at the beginning. Where do I abide in my life? What kind of fruit is produced in my life? And how is fruit shown in my life? Based on this passage, I would love for you to just think about it. The rest of this week, think about this passage and those questions. I don't ask the questions to condemn anyone, but they're good questions to ask ourselves, to say, Lord, where am I abiding? Where are the areas in my life that I shouldn't be abiding in? God, help me. I repent, or I don't want to be there anymore. And realize what kind of fruit is produced in my life. And we cover what those fruits of the Spirit are. when we look at some of those things that are going to be produced in our lives, some of that fruit sometimes is going to take some hard pruning in our lives to get there. But it's awesome. Because it's going to speak, it's going to minister to us and those around us. Like I said, I quit asking for patience a long time ago. And the Lord just brings it when He wants to. He brings it. And I hear the Lord in it now. Much more clearly. When times I don't want to be gentle or don't want to exert self-control, the Spirit is moving. Lord, help me. And He does. He walks with me. And how is this fruit shown in my life? It's shown in the lives of other people. How we walk and interact with others. Whether it's shoulder to shoulder or sometimes from a distance, that fruit is being seen. And it is being seen in others, and it is being seen by others, even though we may not believe it. Because one of the things I did learn about grapevines, because I'm not an expert person or one of those people that understands vines, because I just barely get doing it. One of the things I learned a couple of weeks ago is that when they do the pruning process on the vines, they prune them back closer to the cluster. If we let things grow wild and in our lives, it covers up the fruit. No one can see it. But the Father prunes it back to where it needs to be. Because it needs to be, it needs airflow. It needs movement. It needs to feel that. And when you clip it back far enough, you actually can see the fruit. So as Jesus snips those things in our life that don't need to be there, that fruit's going to be shown in our lives. That's the awesome thing about it. As we continue to yield to Jesus, you're right, Lord, take it away. Taking away that covering that doesn't need to be there. So that what's underneath that incredible cluster of grapes can be seen by those who need to see it. Can be easily tasted by those who need to taste it. That love coming from our lives, that kindness, that gentleness. Those three questions I want to leave with you tonight. And that may the Lord bring this passage back to you to think about, Lord, where am I abiding? What's the fruit that's in me? And how is that fruit being shown in my life? Let's close in prayer tonight. Father, we just thank you once again, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so incredible, Lord. And you're so loving. Lord, you continue to minister to each one of us the way that we need, Lord. And Father, I just ask and pray, Lord, if there's anyone who's just, maybe they're just not in that place where they feel like they're abiding with you, I just ask and pray, Lord, that they would remember that they're clean. Clean because of your word. And because of what your son Jesus has done. Lord, that you're a loving Father that wants them to be in that sweet spot, Lord. In that deep abiding relationship with you. God, minister to each one as we pray, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I just pray, God, that your word would just minister this passage, the remainder of this week, exactly the way we need it. And we ask all these things tonight, Lord, in your son Jesus' name. Amen.